could grow faith, all the way down.
Spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. Andy Woods joins us today for a Middle East update, as we normally do on Fridays. A Middle East update, a prophecy, Bible prophecy update. I guess it's kind of swings between those two. Let's see. I want to go to worldviewreport.com. Oh, by the way, folks, I guess they have added the Frank Speech. Don't confuse the Frank Speech app with the Frank Speech Social. Frank Speech Social. I guess the app is available on Android. Okay, it's not available yet for iPhones. But I'm told today that the Frank Speech Social, for those of you looking to bail off the other liberal social platforms where you can't post anything, you might try the Frank Speech Social or Frank Social, and you can find it on Android right now. Okay, if you want to follow me, you can do that. I guess my handle is Brannon House Live. Spell it out. Gitter, I'm BH Live. On Gitter, I'm BH Live. But I guess on Frank Social, the new social platform, the app has been approved for Android. Not app, hasn't been approved for the iPhone yet, but for Android, you can go get the app. And I guess my handle on there is Brannon House Live. So if you want to follow us on there, you can. Annie does a great job trying to keep a lot of stuff posted up there for you guys. So you can check that out. Before we go to Dr. Woods, let's go to my computer's not plugged in. Let's go to Worldview Report anyway. Hint, hint. If someone wants to plug that in for me, it'd be great. We're going to look at this one here. Let's see. Here we go. Extremists see U.S. power grid as target, the government reports. Well, isn't that interesting? All the talk about the extremists and domestic terrorists and President Biden, or Biden, I hate calling him president, but Biden, because I think he's illegitimate, but that's my opinion. Biden, he said that this extremist group, MAGA, these MAGA people are extremists. These pro-lifers are extremists. So you know that they consider, if you are patriotic, you're conservative, you're concerned about borders, you're not for globalism, you're a potential domestic terrorist, right? So when they say extremists see U.S. power grid as target, are we to believe, really? Are we really to believe that that's the great threat to the power grid, or who? I mean, because they don't say, other than to talk about this extremist group, they don't describe them quite enough other than domestic extremist. Well, again, who are we talking about here? Okay, so you're not concerned about the Islamist. You're not concerned about China or Russia that has literally hacked into our power grid. The government admitted that during the Trump administration. But you're worried about extremists. Well, who are these domestic extremists? Are they Islamist? Who are they? Is this laying down the narrative for a false flag? Let's go to the article. They talk about the grid is viewed as a target based on a series of incidences in recent years, as well as online discussion, extremist and conspiracy-minded forums. Because transmission lines and substations are often in remote areas, and because outages may result in frustration and divisions within American society, a federal law enforcement official said. Really? So, again, you're going to blame this on this group of unnamed extremists, but not concerned about the fact that China and Russia have hacked into our power grid, or that they have threatened us with EMP? So, again, I ask, is a narrative being laid down for a false flag? Here's another one. Russia state TV shows nuclear tsunami wiping out the United Kingdom. Now, what's very interesting about that is, as you get into the video, they actually, they're on state television, show a submarine. Let's see if I can advance it. There it is. They show a submarine, and the submarine releases a small drone. And they say that it's running at a speed of 200 kilometers. There's no way to stop this underwater drone, they state. Look at, for those watching by television, you can see the images, right? It's a warhead with 100 megatons. The explosion of this thermonuclear torpedo close to Britain's coast will cause a gigantic tsunami wave up to 500 meters high. This wave also carries extreme doses of radiation. Now, you know what's very interesting about this? This is exactly what I warned about in my documentary Siege. You're like, every time he turns around, he's talking about what he warned about in that documentary. How long is that thing? It's 8.5 hours. So you can get a lot of warnings in 8.5 hours. But if you go and watch the documentary Siege, and you can get it at siegethemovie.com. Actually, we got a special pack going where you get my 2 hours of Brainwashed America Part 1, Siege, 8.5 hours, Sabotage, 2 hours, and Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1 and 2 at my bookstore, wvwtv.com/store. You can get all three DVDs and those two hardcover books for, I don't know, like $29.99. I used to sell one of the DVDs for $24.99. Now you get all three of them plus the two books on that special at wvwtv.com/store. But in that documentary, I show this drone, this unmanned drone, and I talk about this with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. So I know these people are being serious because we covered it in 2019 in a documentary. We actually were talking about it before that, but then the documentary came out in 2019, December 2019. So there you go. More threats by Russia on the UK. Here we go. Joe Biden trashes pro-life Americans. They're the, quote, most extreme group in American history. Oh, yeah, that's right, because we're the ones that are opening the border and allowing Islamists to flow over. We're the ones allowing the Taliban to pick who comes into the U.S. and gets on the airplane to come here. We're the ones that have let the extremists and terrorist-type individuals walk around the country after we brought them here. We're the ones pushing partial birth abortion. We're the ones pushing for legislation to kill babies outside the womb up to 28 days. We're the ones pushing same-sex marriage. We're the ones pushing transgenderism, encouraging, you know, preschoolers to question their born sexual identity. We're the ones wanting to do sex change operations on young people. Yeah, that's us. We're so extreme. No, that's them. Once again, psychological projection. What they put on us is really true about them. But why would a president say, a so-called president, why would a so-called president say this about a big chunk of the population? Because these people are Marxists. They want to lay down narratives that are not true. They want to paint their enemies as domestic terrorists, domestic extremists. They want to have a disinformation board. They want to charge you with hate crimes. They want to prosecute you, lock you up if they can. They want to get social credit scores so they can then absolutely ruin your life and destroy you. This is the history of Marxism. And this is a man sitting in the White House claiming to be the president, and his administration talking about Americans as extremist, and the most extreme group, and all most of us are for is what? Law and order, borders, traditional morals, values. There you go. Third case of Ebola detected in Northwestern, I think that's the DRC, is the Dominican Republic, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Democratic Republic of Congo. Democratic Republic of Congo, third. So the WHO detected this, the WHO. Now, this lays the foundation, again, for what we were talking about with Dr. Lee, who's going to be coming back on the broadcast next week. She's the one that was with the WHO out of Hong Kong from China, and she's the one I had on for a show, a month or two ago, talking about hemorrhagic fever and her concern that China has been working on hemorrhagic fever. So here's the question. Again, are the globalists laying the foundation for some kind of hemorrhagic fever, Ebola being in that neighborhood? Because again, if you know that you can get people to surrender their liberties with a coronavirus, with the death rate being virtually, what was the survivability rate of that thing? Like 99.7% or something, or 97.7%? It was massive survival rate. Of course, among young people, it's 99.99%, right? Basically 100%. But if you can get the American people to give up their liberties and freedoms as they did with a eyes and nose, etc. Remember the study we showed from 2013 that the government is very aware of, was on a government website, that shows that the best way to get Americans to give up their freedoms was two ways. One was from a pandemic, a pathogen, or famine. Well, that's interesting, because every time I turn around, I'm reading a new article about that very thing. Famines, Food crisis. Here we go. Global food crisis. Perfect storm of world hunger thanks to Ukraine crisis and COVID could starve millions. So thanks to Ukraine and COVID could starve millions. One headline today coming from Breitbart over at worldviewreport.com. Just a couple more. Let's see. I guess that's about it. Oh, here we go. Biden handing over U.S. sovereignty to the WHO. We've done a lot of shows on that. So that conference is taking place May 22nd to the 28th. So that's coming up. Well, that brings you up to speed at least a little bit with what's going on in the news. Let's go now to Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Andy Woods, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Woods.
Brandon, good to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on. Let's talk about the Middle East. Let's go to our PowerPoint here that you always lay out for us and send over. Here we're going to talk about a few things. Prophecy update today, parental authority, Supreme Court of the United States. Love to get your feedback as an attorney on that. Temple update, Gog Magog update, Israel's 74th birthday. So let's start out with, do children belong to their parents? Now, this is Melissa Harris-Penny of MSNBC. Quote, we have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents. Our kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities, end quote. Dr. Woods?
Well, that sounds like a lot like Hillary's book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, which is an attack on the nuclear family and, you know, sort of in favor of a collective Marxist idea of upbringing, raising children. But the reason I bring this up is Biden very recently said, as he was speaking before at a Teacher of the Year award at the White House, quote, they, that's kids, are not someone else's children, they're our children. And that is a direct attack on what God says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, where he basically puts authority to raise children in the hands of the parents, not in the hands of anybody else. And you can see that authority structure in many verses of the Bible, Joshua 4, 19 through 24, Proverbs 22, verse 6, Ephesians 6, verse 4, you know, etc. And so this, you talked about Marxism. Marxists have always tried to bring in their totalitarianism, have tried to drive a wedge, you know, in between parents and children. And that's the way they brainwash the next generation to cooperate. In fact, it's a well-known strategy going back to Fidel Castro. I've heard this story from two Cuban refugees where Castro, when he took control, basically said to his assistants to have the kids in the school pray to God for candy or ice cream. And so the children would bow their heads and pray to God for ice cream, and none would show up. And then he said, have the kids pray a second time to Fidel for ice cream, and the kids did that, and the ice cream truck, you know, would show up.
Wow.
So he's weaning children away from God and wanting himself to be God.
Wow, hold right there. Dr. Andy Woods, we'll be right back. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. So we're joined today by Dr. Andy Woods of andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. Dr. Woods, that was a fascinating story. Pray to God for candy and ice cream. Kids in Cuba, nothing shows up. Pray to Fidel for candy and ice cream. Candy and ice cream show up. That's a disturbing story. Pick it up from there, would you?
Well, I just bring this up because it's a long-standing strategy of dictators to take over the school system and to wean, you know, basically children away from parents unto some sort of leader as, you know, someone they look at as the bestower of, you know, happiness and their rights, which is the opposite of what America is based on. Our rights come from God. And when Biden says the kids really don't belong to the parents, they belong to the teachers, I just think it's part of a well-used strategy that he's using to ultimately move us into one-worldism. Yeah. And that's why I think it's significant in a prophecy update, because the Bible does predict, Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, that one-worldism, or the New World Order, is on the horizon, and the schools, to a large extent, are preparing these youth for this maximum global experiment in one-world government.
Here in this slide, we have divine institutions, conscience, Genesis 3:22, marriage and family, Genesis 1:26-28, Genesis 2:18-25, labor, Genesis 2:15, Genesis 3:19, government, Genesis 9:6, nationalism, Genesis 11:1-9. What do you mean there, and what is the context for nationalism there?
Well, these divine institutions are all things you find in early Genesis, and they apply to Christians and non-Christians alike, believers and unbelievers. And these are, we call them institutions, because these are things that the Creator has built into the fabric of fallen creation to help fallen creation, you know, perpetuate itself in spite of the reality of sin. And they restrain man's sin nature. And once these institutions are eroded, there's nothing really left to restrain man's sin nature. And you have a situation just like before the flood, where violence filled the whole earth. And when that happens, the judgment of God, whether it be a flood in the past or the tribulation period in the future, you know, can't be far away. And so the one that's being eroded here, that Biden is saying, you know, the kids really belong to the teachers and not the parents, is marriage and family. But nationalism was established by God at the Tower of Babel, where God was very clear that he doesn't want humanity ordered according to global government, because if man controls global government, he'll abuse it. You know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so what you'll notice with all five of these institutions is all of them are being severely eroded today, which shows us that, you know, we're very, very close to the final judgment, because eventually there's going to be nothing left to hold back man's sin nature once these divine institutions disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go back to the slides here. Prophecy update, parental authority. The next segment we're going to talk about today is the Supreme Court of the United States. As an attorney, I definitely want your thoughts on this today, Dr. Woods.
Well, you know, to me, the great tragedy of the whole thing is it's taken the court, which is not supposed to be a political institution. That's why jurists at the federal level are appointed for life. In other words, they're supposed to be able to make decisions based on the Constitution. They're supposed to be able to compare overreach by government to the Constitution itself and render, you know, governmental activity null and void through the power of judicial review. I mean, that's their job. They're not supposed to be subject to the political winds. And so what you have with this leaked memo, which allegedly comes from Alito, is five judges, or justices, I should say, that want to do their job. They want to get rid of Roe versus Wade, which, by the way, is just lousy constitutional law. Even people that are pro-abortion, as a matter of constitutional law, can look at Roe versus Wade and see it's just a matter of overstep. And what's happened with this leaked memo is someone in the court, apparently, you know, it could have been Justice Breyer for all I know, that's a working thesis, or a law clerk or an employee of the court that's very pro versus Roe versus Wade leak this memo to the press. And what's happened is the whole political machine has ramped up. You know, now you've got protesters again in front of the court. They're having to build a fence or a wall to protect the court. And everybody's getting, revved up on the left for the next election. And it's taken one of our institutions that's supposed to be non-political, and it's made it more political than ever. And so the great tragedy that comes out of this leaked memo that everybody's been talking about really all week long is the politicization of a branch of government that's not supposed to be political. And it really represents the fall, in my opinion, of one of our great institutions. And that's what we're seeing unfold before our very eyes.
Look at this quote you have in your presentation from the Federalist number 78. The judiciary, from the nature of its functions, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution. You know, what happened there, Dr. Woods?
Well, this is the Federalist Papers, and these basically were written by Hamilton, Madison, and Jay to convince the farmers of New York to ratify the Constitution. And so they're a tremendous, source of light as to the original meaning of our Constitution. And the judiciary, when it was originally set up, was supposed to be the least dangerous branch. That's why they were appointed for life. And all they were supposed to do was compare government overreach to the Constitution as originally written. And they were supposed to render null and void through the power of judicial review government overreach. And sadly, what's happened is the least dangerous branch of government has become the most dangerous branch of government, because people started to creep onto the court who began to look at the Constitution as a living, breathing document, meaning I can make it sound any way I want at any time. And they began to discard framers' intent, and they began to actually make law from the bench and circumvent the amendment process. And that's why Supreme Court nominations, have gone to such an extreme. But when you go back to the original intent of our founding fathers, you see the original design. It was supposed to be the least dangerous branch, and it now has become the most dangerous branch of government.
Mm-hmm. Look at this headline, Israel Today, because now we're going to talk about the Temple Mount in our prophecy update. Israel Today, Jewish world, getting ready. Temple Institute practices burning the red heifer. Now, this, we knew that they were looking for the red heifer, trying to breed the red heifer. But, folks, I've never seen a headline like this. They're now actually practicing burning the red heifer. Israeli professor involved in test of the red heifer ritual calls it an historical moment on the road to purity and redemption. Well, absolutely it's historical. I have never heard of a headline like this. Breeding, for one, but actually now practicing burning the heifer and getting ready to use the ashes for purification of the temple. That this is a first. So they must think they're getting very close, Dr. Woods.
Right, and of course, Bible prophecy, as we've explained many times, predicts a third temple, which the Antichrist will desecrate midway through the tribulation. But what's interesting is when you go back to Numbers 19, the ashes of the red heifer mixed with water were necessary to dedicate the tabernacle and then later the temple. And so you can't have a temple without the ashes of the red heifer mixed with water for purposes of dedication, and you can't have the ashes of the red heifer in existence until you have a genetically pure red heifer, which has to be bred properly. So the fact that they're talking about this red heifer is really step one to rebuilding temple number three, which will be step two. And of course, as you know, Brandon, we're living in a time period of accelerated understanding of genetics. And so we're living in this time period where genetics and breeding, our knowledge of these things is now off the charts. And so we're now living in a season of time where you can conceivably have a genetically pure red heifer, which is necessary to rededicate temple number three. And so it shows us that we're moving aggressively to temple number three, you know, ready or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, under the Frank Speech Lindell TV player is a comment section. So if anyone has a question, you can go over there and post that. We'll also endeavor to open the phones here in a minute as well. Dr. Woods, inevitably, when we talk about this, usually in the evening, however, there's a gentleman that comes on and he gets quite irate when we start talking about the Third Temple and the Jews and that we're somehow blaspheming God, that we're actually looking forward to this. It's not that we, I mean, this is going to be the Tribulation Temple. So it's not that we're excited about the idea of them making sacrifice, because we believe the sacrifice has already been done once and for all. Christ died for the sins of all who place their faith and trust in him. You know, the Bible says that, John 3:16, we know, for God so loved the world, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's done. It's finished, he said. Debt paid in full. So it's not that we're excited about their setting up their tribulation temple and doing this from the perspective of agreeing with the need to sacrifice, because there is no need for sacrifice anymore. But the reason we look forward to this is because it tells us where we're at on God's prophetic calendar, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The thing to understand is the nation of Israel is doing this in unbelief.
Right.
I mean, they really don't realize that they are setting up the Antichrist temple. They think they're setting up the Messiah's temple, or what we would call later on the millennial temple. And so we're not saying, hey, this is great, let's get another temple going. We're just saying that this shows us that let's put it this way, you know, the signs that when the Christmas songs and the Christmas lights come up in the department store, and Santa Claus comes out, and the Christmas songs are on the radio, you know not just that Christmas is coming, but Thanksgiving is coming, because Thanksgiving comes earlier in the calendar than Christmas. And so we look at these as signs of the tribulation, which means that the rapture of the church, which precedes the tribulation, is coming even faster. And so that's why we're excited. It's because of the rapture. Not because we're somehow trying to supplement, you know, the finished work of Jesus Christ with animal sacrifices.
Absolutely. Daniel 9:27, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, meaning a short period of time, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to a sacrifice and grain offering. Look at that, and grain offering. They're back to offering up tithes, by the way, folks. And what was tithe? Money. Grain. And if you were too far from the temple, you took your tithe, turned it into money. And then when you got there, you took your money and turned it back into tithe. Huh, what's the first, second, and third tithe? Well, the first is for the Levites, what we're seeing here. The second is for yourself to eat food in the gates of your place where you live, or taking to the shadow of the temple in Jerusalem. And the third is the poor's tithe. But we've done a lot on that, but that's interesting that they were going to go back to this, grain offering, sacrificing grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So there we go. That temple is going to be used in a way that is, again, look at the graft. Right there in the middle, the tribulation. 7-year tribulation at the midpoint, 3.5 years in. Antichrist desecrates the temple and ends the sacrifices. So again, we're getting close. When we see all these things happening, the military alliances between Russia and Iran and Turkey, Syria, they're getting ready for the temple to be built. I mean, it's all lining up, folks. And we're commanded to watch for this, by the way. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. You also find all kinds of free TV shows at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Also there, you will find my nightly 30-minute newscast. We started that back in December. 30 minutes, straight news, takes about seven of us, 15 man hours a day to put that together with all the graphics, getting all the news together, getting the B-roll footage, getting all the clips that we play of news items and events, putting it all together, takes us 15 man hours a day, seven of us. If you want to check out the Worldview Report, that's the 30-minute newscast, straight news. You can find that at WVWTV.com. You can find it at frankspeech.com. You can find it on VCY America TV 30 at 10 o'clock. Got an email from some folks that have been watching that at 10 o'clock TV 30 each night, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. So if you want to watch the news, you're like, but I don't really want to watch Milwaukee news any more than I want to watch Memphis news. No, thank you. That's depressing because if it bleeds, it leads. That's what they say, right? Not really interested in watching the local news. About the only time I watch it is when there's a really bad thunderstorm or tornadoes being predicted. Then I'll turn it on to see what's going on with the map, right? But other than that, don't really watch the local news. Most of you, you're kind of feel the same way about it in your town probably. But if you want to tune in, for those who are blessed to live in Milwaukee and have TV 30, 10 o'clock every night, 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, the news, the Worldview Report. The rest of you can watch at WVWTV.com or frankspeech.com. And it's gotten picked up by other networks as well, Brighteon and other places. All right, so, and of course, I think VCY has a Roku channel and all that, so you can watch that there too. Dr. Woods is my guest. His website is andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. We're doing our Friday Middle East Bible Prophecy Update. Let's go back to Israel's four temples, Solomon's Temple, Zerubbabel's Post Temple, Antichrist Temple, Millennial Temple. You want to say anything about these?
Well, just to kind of piggyback on what was brought up prior to the break, is when you're looking at Israel, you're dealing with people, you know, because you talked about them going back to the tithing system and all that. You're dealing with people that are functioning without the light of the New Testament. And so you can see how hemmed in their thinking is. And they're in a state of unbelief and blindness, and they currently think that they're actually doing their Messiah a favor, you know, by building this temple. The reality is, when you look at the whole counsel of God's Word, they're actually building the Antichrist temple, and it's going to take his betrayal of them and desecration of their own temple to bring them, to wake them up, really, and to bring them nationally to a state of faith in the Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus Christ. And so that's the angle that we approach, you know, when we look at these things. We're not trying to somehow supplement, you know, animal sacrifices. We're not trying to bring back the tithing aspects of the Mosaic Law. We're looking at it specifically from the vantage point of potential fulfilled prophecy on the horizon, which means that the rapture of the church is coming even faster.
Absolutely. Here's a quote you gave, William Blackstone. Of course, that's the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, correct?
Well, that's a different Blackstone.
I was going to say, I was going to ask, how did you get a picture of him? Because I don't think they had cameras back then. So
yeah.
I was thinking, wait a minute, how did they have his picture if that's the same dude?
Well, the Blackstone you're referring to is the one I hear you quote a lot, that
yeah.
Where God has ruled for, we don't rule again.
Yes.
He gave us inalienable rights.
Yes.
But this is another gentleman by the name of William Blackstone. And he wrote a book called Jesus is Coming, and he was kind of like a modern, kind of like Hal Lindsey or Tim LaHaye is in our day in terms of a bestseller. He released this book, and it was kind of a runaway bestseller. And in this particular book, he says Israel is God's sundial. He says if anyone desires to know our place in God's chronology, our position in the great march of events, look at Israel. Close quote. And so that's how we look at Israel. The reborn state of Israel is the super sign of the last days. And all of these other signs that need to be considered, you know, the mark of the beast or one worldism, those need to be considered alongside the super sign, which is a reborn state of Israel in unbelief. Because if you don't have that piece of the jigsaw puzzle in place, the whole prophetic scenario can't happen. And it's interesting, he made that comment about the sundial in 1908. That would be four decades before Israel was born through her War of Independence.
Wow. So let's see here. I was just looking something up real quick. All right, so let's go to the next one. Let's go to Gog and Magog. Explain real quick to our audience what Gog and Magog is. I got a graphic there that kind of shows for those watching by television.
Well, it's that very interesting prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which predict a conglomeration of nations coming against Israel in the end times. And one of them is Rosh, or Russia, coming from the uttermost parts of the north, probably spearheading the invasion. And the other nation, among several others mentioned, is Persia, who we think is modern-day Iran. And so that's why I included a couple of news articles where essentially Iran and Israel, when you look at the back and forth, are right now, as we speak, in the middle of a cold war. And it's not yet boiled over into a hot war, although it could, but they are involved in a cold war. While everyone is focused on the Johnny Depp trial, this is what's happening in the real world of Bible prophecy. And the same exact same thing is happening with Russia. Russia and Israeli tensions are increasing, and of course I include that in a prophecy update because that's what the prophet Ezekiel foresaw 2,600 years ago.
Wow. All right, so we got Rosh, we got them all there on the map, you can see them. Let's go to an article. We've got an article here I want to show real quick because I think this kind of helps us understand what it is you're talking about. I still get a kick out of the fact that guy is William Blackstone. Because you do know the guy that the Founding Fathers was quoted was also William Blackstone, right?
Well, I forgot his first name.
It's William. It's William, just like this dude.
Yeah. Of course, the Blackstone you're referring to is the one that wrote Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law.
That's right. Just a different guy. Yeah.
Different guy. This is maybe they're related.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
I don't know that. This is a different Blackstone.
Here's Israel Today analysis. Will Israel and Russia drift further toward animosity?
Yeah, it's a really interesting article. It's basically related to Putin's invasion of Ukraine and Putin saying basically, I invaded Ukraine because of Nazi activity in Ukraine, and the Israel came back and basically criticized him for that, and Putin came back and his cohort saying, Hitler, was Jewish. Israel was saying, how could there be Nazi activity in Ukraine? Don't you know that Zelensky is Jewish? And Russia came back and said, well, Hitler was Jewish, and Israel came back and said, no, he wasn't. And so there's this whole back and forth going on, which is not, decelerating, if that's a word, tensions between Russia and Iran, that's actually heating up.
Wow. All right, let's go to our next slide here. That's the wrong one. Let me go here. I'm doing double duty over here, talking and running the PowerPoint today. Here we go. Tribulation judgments. You want to talk about that real quick? First half, second half?
Well, a lot of that relates to the kings of the East. And, for a lot of reasons, I believe that the kings of the East represent China. In fact, as you scroll through that, you'll see a quote by the late Dr. John Walvoord, who was a...
You want me to read it?
Sure.
He said, John Walvoord said, quote, "If considered a literal enumeration of the army, it would represent the largest armed forces ever known to man. Considering the millions of people in the Orient, the literal interpretation is not impossible, especially in view of the population explosion. The passage is best understood as referring to the kings of the East, literally of the sun rising, referring to Oriental rulers who will descend upon the Middle East in connection with the final world conflict described a few verses later. The reasons seem to be weak for taking this prediction in other than its literal meaning. The rising power of parts of the Orient in our day in countries such as Japan, China, India, as well as lesser nations, makes such an invasion a reasonable prediction," end quote.
Yeah, by the time you get to the sixth trumpet judgment, Revelation 9, and the sixth bowl judgment around Revelation 16, verse 12, it talks about this massive army that numbers 200 million that makes its way from the Far East into the Middle East. And, of course, the geographical marker that delineates the Far East from the Middle East is Euphrates. And that river, according to Bible prophecy, is going to be supernaturally dried up to expedite the path of this eastern army that's summoned by satanic powers into northern Israel for the final battle, known as the Battle of Armageddon. And as that army is making its way into northern Israel, they destroy or wipe out one-third of the world's population. And I bring this up because a lot of people ask, where is China in Bible prophecy? And I'm of the persuasion that that's where China fits. In fact, that's what John Walvoord said in his commentary going all the way back to 1966. It's part of that, those oriental powers consisting of perhaps Japan and India, but also China. And so that's why I included that article about China and Russia, you know, looking at one another as strategic partners, to the point where one of our admirals is worried that the United States is not ready for this. We're not ready for these two powers to team up. And so a lot of people wonder, the alliance between Russia and China, is that setting the stage for Bible prophecy? I think it is, because China is that eastern power, and Rosh, or Russia, is mentioned as an invader of the land of Israel in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And so when you see these two powers arise and are hostile to Israel and are actually cooperating with each other, calling each other strategic partners, that's just another example where God currently is setting the stage for the end time drama.
Here's another headline, Israel Today. New developments in the covert Israel-Iran war. As hostilities escalate out of the public eye, the likelihood of a direct Iranian attack on Israel has increased greatly. This was just published 2 days ago, May 4th.
Yeah, I try to bring you, Brandon, you know, really up-to-date articles.
And I appreciate that.
And this was one, you know, where it's talking about literally, and it goes through a lot of different ins and outs. There's a lot of twists and turns in the article. But it's a fascinating read from the angle of Bible prophecy, because it's really talking about a Cold War that is now happening.
Well, look at this one. Iran was also behind the explosion of violence on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem during Passover. It has now become clear.
That's astounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many news outlets are even talking about this?
So at this time, of course, I think Ramadan and Passover crossed each other this year. But, I mean, my word, again, where is the media on this, right?
Right. It's like it's just silence. And, you know, the Johnny Depp trial or whatever it is people are focused on, that's where their heads are. And they're not talking about these major developments.
Well, like cyber attacks
in our world.
Hackers from Iran attacks targets in Israel almost daily and managed to shut down the website of Israeli radio stations last week. And yeah, there's a lot going on. Foiled assassinations. Meanwhile, Israel does not stand idle by as Iran tries to hit the Jewish state in different ways. All right, we're going to pick back up on this. No calls, because we got a lot more to cover in the time remaining to us. Dr. Andy Woods is my guest. We post this each night at worldviewradio.com, as well as at WVWTV.com if you want to see the graphics. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to have to keep moving here real quick. But I want to go back to this allisrael.com website, allisrael.com. Foiled assassination. Last weekend, it is announced that Israeli spy agency Mossad had been carrying out another operation within the borders of the Islamic Republic. Mossad agents broke into the home of a member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Iran and questioned him about an assassination plot against an Israeli diplomat in Turkey. And I understand they're like, hey, let's just go over there and question this dude. And Mossad, being as big and bad as they are, just went to the dude's house in Iran? Is that what happened?
I mean, that's basically my understanding. And
yeah, absolutely. You know, broke into his house in Iran. Hey, let's go question that guy. It's over in Iran. We don't care. We're Mossad. Are you kidding? That's a walk in the park. I mean, these guys are gutsy, aren't they?
Well, you know, my main point in this is this kind of back and forth between Iran and Israel is happening all the time. I think this kind of stuff here is just the tip of the iceberg. And when you scroll down to ongoing nuclear activity, it says there the latest IAEA report shows that Iran is only using negotiations in Vienna to buy time. And it says, according to Israeli media reports, Iran has now enriched enough uranium up to 60% to build an atomic bomb within a short time span. And the same report emphasizes that further enriching uranium from 60% to 90% needed for the production of a nuclear weapon takes just a few weeks.
Wow.
So with all of this going on here, Persia or Iran is on the precipice of going nuclear, and the world community seems basically powerless to slow it down.
The article over here talking about this guy that the Mossad broke into his home in Iran and questioned him. That's what it says. In Iran and questioned him about an assassination plot against an Israeli diplomat in Turkey. The man, Masur Rasouli was released after the interrogation and said he would never again participate in murderous plots. No, pretty much not when you find Mossad actually comes right into your house when you're in Iran. He's thinking, I'm in Iran, I'm fine. And they're actually coming to his house, question him, like, you're not going to do this again, are you? No, I will not do this again. All right, we'll let you go this time. Oh, wow. I mean, that right there should be a headline that people are talking about. All right, let's see what is next quickly on our PowerPoint presentation with Dr. Woods. The next one here is I got a slide of Babylon. Why are you showing us Babylon here?
Well, it relates to what I was saying earlier before about China.
Okay.
And the reason I bring that up is there's a lot of confusion over this Eastern power that's invading. A lot of people confuse the sixth trumpet with the fifth trumpet. And I have a chart there explaining the differences between the two, because people think this army is demonic.
Okay.
And no, it's not demonic. It's demonically influenced, but it's ultimately a human army, because the army in the fifth trumpet comes out of the abyss, which is basically it's a holding tank for demons, and it's actually where Satan is going to be incarcerated in the millennial kingdom. But the army that we're talking about here with trumpet number six is not coming out of the abyss. It's coming east of the Euphrates. So I think the army of 200 million is a very, very real human army, and it's to be identified with China as one of the possible players. Mm-hmm. And that's the position of Dr. John Walvoord in his Revelation commentary.
All right, let's get to Israel's 74th birthday. Israel's 74th birthday. State of Israel is born. Here's the Palestinian Post back in 1948, May of 48. And so let's discuss that real quick, Dr. Woods.
Well, you know, we bring that up because that, you know, really is the super sign of the end times, as we said before. Unless you have a reborn state of Israel in unbelief, that, you know, the whole prophetic scenario, none of it will make any real sense. And so there's this article here from allisrael.com essentially showing what life was like for the Jewish nation when it was born with its war of independence, May the 14th, 1948, and what it's like today. I mean, it's literally the miracle on the Mediterranean. And there's about 10 points the author makes comparing 1948 to today. I'll just draw one of them to your attention. It's number six. in 1948, Israel's GDP, you know, gross domestic product, was $5,000. Today, it's $44,177. Mm-hmm. In fact, those numbers may not be the best. I think if you cycle through there, I've got a couple of slides of GDP. Today, Israel's GDP is $467 billion. You know, compare that to what the nation was like in 1948, and you can see the hand of God, you know, on that nation.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about, let's see, what else we got here? Am I out of slides? I pretty much think I am. Yeah. Oh, no, here it is. Here's what you were just referring to. Country, Israel, gross domestic product, Israel, $123 billion, Egypt, $81 billion, Syria, $26 billion, Lebanon, $21 billion, Jordan, $12 billion. So Israel blows all of them away.
Yeah, and that's why Ezekiel 28, verse 12, and verse 13 talk about the reason for the invasion that's described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It has to do with spoil and wealth.
Oh, by the way, those were from 2005. Those numbers, yeah. I just gave you 2005. Now look at 2021. They went from $123 billion in 2005 to now they're at $467 billion in 2021.
That's just astounding.
And they're still beating Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria.
And that's why this invasion is going to happen. So in order to set the stage for this, you have to have a reborn state of Israel in unbelief. Check, got that. And Israel has to become phenomenally wealthy. Check, that's happening right before our eyes. And so that's actually what whets the appetite of this coalition that Ezekiel 38 and 39 explains will invade Israel in the last days.
And by the way, here's another headline we should mention very, very quickly. U.S. nuclear forces chief concerned by Russia-China cooperation. Well, he should be. Well, he should be. So,
sure.
There you go. Yeah?
And that's the kings of the East lining up with Russia.
Yeah. And then the final slide I'll show is this one here. This is a Bible prophecy conference coming up May 14th to the 15th, 2022. Speakers, Dr. Andy Woods, my buddy Olivier Melnick, Jeff Kinley. You're sold out, but they can register, I'm sure, at and watch it on your website, right?
Yeah, just go right and there. It's Israel's birthday, May 14th and 15th, and live stream the whole thing all day Saturday, half a day Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Woods. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. Ours, WorldviewRadio.com. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard...